Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where we're all needing a little help these days, and I'm delighted to say I'm joined by a special featured guest, one of my most valued colleagues. He's among the most thoughtful, intelligent, and perceptive associates I have in these analytic tasks of sorting what's taking place. David Scorpio is here with me today from the beginning. We're going to start by looking at a report from Reinhard Fulmich about the agenda of the New World Order. And listen carefully to what he has to say, because it's all terribly, terribly important.
But here's the thing. When people have to understand what's really going on, it's not enough that you think that maybe I'm going to have to bow to authority. It's important to understand, to see the whole picture. It's important to understand what you mentioned a while ago, that this is about life and death. It's about population reduction. This is no mistake. They're not acting negligently. They're acting on purpose. Let us take a brief look, just so that people understand what I'm talking about. There is another slide about the New World Order. It's both in English and in German. And it spells out exactly where we are and where we're headed right now. Können wir das kurz sehen? See this? At the bottom, you have the English translation. At the bottom, you have the German translation. It's the New World Order agenda, the analysis. The first step is destabilization. We've been through that. That's restricting economic freedom, increasing the volume of money, produce conflict, promote fear, overregulating of current legal system. That's exactly what we're seeing. Second step is deconstruction. That's where we are right now. Inflation, lower purchasing power, bankruptcies, restriction of economic freedom, suspension of current arrangement systems. And the third step is reconstruction, setting up a new financial system. Then they will pop up and play the savior. Those who are trying to kill us will all of a sudden pop up and play the savior, assume the role as a savior in times of need. Universal basic income is what they're going to offer us. Centralization through supranational structures. And the final step is the end result, control over all resources, transfer of personal responsibility and global laws. This is not a conspiracy theory. You can read it in the Great Reset. Yeah. This is not a conspiracy theory. But if people do not understand this, they will not make the right choices. But very well spoken, Golan. You hit the nail on the head.
Now, since that was difficult to read, Scorpio, I have here a better version where he's talking about the various stages through which we are passing. Initially, destabilization, restricting economic freedom, increasing the volume of money, the Inflation Reduction Act, all these stimulus programs turning massive to promote inflation, produce conflict, promote fear. That's like his speech behind the blood red curtains, sending out the FBI to do all these attacks, these raids, overregulation of the current legal system. It may well be that what we have with the Alex Jones trial, where the second is now commenced, is another illustration where none of these are bona fide trials. These are only for damages. They've already been settled by preliminary deliberations, by stipulation or by assumption, or in my case, by a summary judgment. Then we're shifting to the deconstruction stage, inflation, lower purchasing power, bankruptcies going on tremendously, restriction of economic freedom, suspension of current arrangement systems. That means like law enforcement. Now you begin to see why defunding the police, why revolving door justice, by putting the criminals out on the street, by getting rid of, they're decriminalizing massive, up to second-degree murder. It's absolutely insane. We're going to discover this. Then the reconstruction they're going to offer, they're going to be our heroes. A new financial system that's going to be the digital currency, whereby they can control every single aspect of our lives, every purchase we make. If we want to buy gas and they don't want us to buy gas because they want us to go electric, they'll simply cut us off. We'll have no choice. It's a form of digital slavery. Role of as savior in time of need. They're going to offer universal basic income, which is going to make us all dependent upon the state. We're going to be slaves of the state. Centralization through supranational structure. That's it. All dominating World Economic Forum will be ruling everything. The end result, basically the Rothschild family, of which Schwab, Klaus Schwab, is a member, is the head of the World Economic Forum, is going to have control over all resources. There'll be a transfer of personal responsibility to this mega organization. There'll be global laws. This is horrific. Scorpio, I'm so glad to have you here. I want your thoughts on all of the above.
Well, Jim, thanks for having me on. It's really an honor to be on your show. And, you know, I don't know of many other people that have had a bigger impact in, you know, trying to get the truth of the nature of reality of this world to, you know, the people more than you, Jim, really. And so thank you so much. And it's good to be back on Revolution Radio as well. That's quite a big, broad question there. You know, and what's interesting for me is, you know, when I first started off on this research back in the early 1990s, it really was a conspiracy theory, you know, and it was more, let's say, fun, because you know, just reading books going, well, that might happen someday. Gee, that'd be interesting if that happens. Oh, this is weird. And now we're in a place in reality where it's all happening. It's no longer a conspiracy theory. It's really more of a business model. That's how I see it. This is a business model as to how they plan to manage the planet and the cattle, the people on it. So it's a very interesting time that we're in. And we really are on the precipice of a new reality, unfortunately. So what would you like me to address first? What's the...
Well, we have a massive convergence, just the extent to which you believe that Reinhard Kulbeck has it exactly right, that these are the stages we're going through, that there's a convergence of the Green New Deal, which is based on unscientific allegations about the correlation between CO2 and the atmosphere and the Earth's temperature, a causal relationship that does not exist. So they're trying to attack our sources of energy, and by electric vehicles, I think, dramatically reduce our mobility, our capacity to get around to travel, which is one of the manifestations of freedom and liberty, if we're able to enjoy it. Then combined with the COVID, the whole thing, and the jab, where we know the pandemic was fabricated and fake, that there weren't any increase of deaths in any age category because of the COVID, but there have been massive increases in death and disability because of the vax, and then the politics in the U.S. and all the efforts. I think that the United States had been the toughest nut to crack because of the Second Amendment, especially. They're going to do everything they can to take away our guns. And I mean, Scorpio is just stunning how stupid this stuff is. I mean, that's a fundamental right Americans have, the Second Amendment. But they're going to do everything they can to undermine it. And then I just want you to take all of that and just sort of swirl it around and give me your take.
Okay, I'll swirl it around and see where it goes. Well, you know, there's no question that the next big shoe to drop is going to be this push for the Green Deal, the green agenda, which really, you know, what it comes down to is the complete control of all the natural resources on the planet. So we're entering into a time where political beliefs really mean a lot less than they used to, only because the game that's being played now is we are going to take over all the world's resources, including water and energy and the production of food and the distribution of goods. And we're going to control them in a way that suits our needs or our agenda, more like. And so it's going to become increasingly difficult to explain away all the things that are happening. Is, well, gee, we didn't see that coming. Who would have thought that would have happened? You know, we didn't think they'd use airplanes as weapons to crash into buildings, even though that didn't really happen. Their excuses they're going to have to make to explain all this away is going to become increasingly difficult, Jim. And, you know, this whole idea you have to drive electric cars now. That's the only way forward, even though, you know, they're hooked up to a power plant that's powered by either natural gas or coal or, nuclear power. So the whole premise of the Green Deal is a fraud. You know, I drive by all the time. I drive by these windmill farms in California, and most of the time, the majority of them are not spinning. So it's not a reliable source of power. It really does create a real bird holocaust, you know, with those blades.
Yes.
And yeah, it's really actually tragic. And, you know, what's interesting is, you know, there was a unprecedented heat wave in California. It's never gotten hot before in late August, early September, you know. And they let it slip very briefly that, please don't charge your electric car today. And then they changed it very quickly because I think someone made a phone call and said, hey, we don't want the slaves knowing about this yet. So they changed it to, please don't use large appliances today unless absolutely necessary. So they don't want it to get out that, you know, in the future, your use of power is going to be closely regulated, and your ability to charge your electric car will be tied to a whole lot of, things that you have to do, or, oh, gee, there's just not enough power. We didn't see that coming. Who would have thought hooking up millions of electric cars to an already strained power grid would cause a problem? So it's a great push to create this new reality under the guise of, well, we're saving the planet, so just shut up and do as you're told, slave. Drink toilet water, eat bugs, and drive your electric car when we say you can. And I think that's really the next big push going forward. And I don't think it's any accident that, you know, the queen, the head lizard, I mean, the queen just happened to die the other day. And now we have, you know, Prince Chuck on the throne, who, of course, has been a huge advocate of this green nonsense, which really represents the complete takeover of the world's resources. That's what it's all about. And obviously the queen would not be able to do that agenda. So Prince Chuck or King Chuck is going to be pushing this hard. And of course, he's very closely tied to the World Economic Forum, and more so than we were told before. I mean, this guy is right in the middle of all of it. And, you know, he sort of represents, he's a front man for a whole group of people that, are the royals of the world. It's this alliance of aristocrats and plutocrats. And so I think that we're going to see a real push for the green agenda coming up. But the brilliance behind it is, well, hey, we're saving the planet. So if you don't want to go along with it, you know, you're a bad person, and you need to be silenced because you're probably a Holocaust denier and a hater, and we just can't allow that kind of behavior anymore. So you're not going to be able to charge your electric car, and we're going to cut back on your allotment of bugs. That's really what they have planned. And as this sort of reality is revealed to the public, not only is it going to be hard to make it look like, well, it's all organic, we just don't have a choice, we didn't see this coming, it's going to be hard to make that sell, and it's going to be increasingly unpopular once, you know, the average person realizes what this is going to mean for their life and, you know, the lives of their children. It's a very sparse reality, a very dark reality, and there's absolutely no reason for it. We could be on a completely different paradigm, but we're supposed to believe all the shortages and this idea that, you know, fossil fuels, which is a farce. Fossil fuels have, you know, there's no such thing as fossil fuels. I subscribe to the abiotic oil theory. I think oil is produced inside the earth. The Russians were the first, you know, group to really tap into the deep, deep sources of oil and natural gas that are essentially limitless, at least in the short term. And on top of that, there's all kinds of advanced technology that could be utilized beyond oil and gas. So the whole thing's a fraud. Everything we've been told about the nature of reality is a lie. And Jim, you've done a great job in sort of revealing the hoaxing, the phony events that we're supposed to believe is reality. And I think that's one reason why you've been targeted and are really, you know, you're paying a very high price, literally and figuratively. And, you know, your work really, in a lot of ways, is sort of unique.
Well, I appreciate all that, Scorpio. Yeah, Charles seems to me to be a weakling, that he's simply a stooge. He's a pawn of the New World Order. I think it's very interesting you make the connection between the Queen's death and his ascension, and being at this stage of the transition that is being promoted by the New World Order, where I think Reinhard Fulbeck has it exactly right. This from the deconstruction to the reconstruction. We're somewhere here now, and it's not at all obvious how we're going to be able to reverse this, how we're going to bring it to a halt. Meanwhile, in Ukraine, we have them claiming they're certain of victory. They're making advances. They've claimed around 3,000 square kilometers retaken. The Russian side is talking about a regrouping. Here's some polling response by Ukrainian to the question, do you believe Ukraine will win the war in April? 97% said yes. In June, 98%. This is just incredible and also wrong. Listen to what Scott Ritter has to say about what's really going on.
And the first thing that Commander does before he goes in the front line, he calls all his boys together. He and the NCO go around and they shake them down and they take all their personal electronics. It goes into a bag and it don't go to the front line. That's how good the Russians are. But anyways, we're talking about some of the best combat troops in the world, and the United States and NATO need to wake up. You think a conscript army of Poland is going to be able to stand toe-to-toe with these guys? No. You think the Danish, the Dutch, the Germans? You know, this ain't the Wehrmacht. This ain't even the guns of Wehrmacht from the Cold War. These are your modern woke Germans who don't know how to fight and won't fight.
Scott, can I ask you a question in that vein? There's a lot of people, there's been a lot of talk about what could potentially happen, NATO getting dragged into the war and all. What is your assessment in terms of how ready is NATO in terms of posture, position, logistics? Are they ready to fight today? And if not, how long would it get them ready to really do something?
First of all, NATO's not ready to fight today. They have a handful of units. For instance, in the Baltics, they've deployed what they call battle groups, which are reinforced battalions. And they're in the Baltics. They have extremely limited defensive combat capability. They're totally incapable of offensive operations. First of all, to think of a reinforced battalion is going to carry out independent offensive operations against the Russians is no, not going to happen. The Polish army can barely get out of the barracks. What units they have might be able to provide a credible defense in depth against any Russian attack, but the concept of the Poles being able to go on the offensive into Ukraine non-existent. Same thing to the Romanians. NATO has zero offensive capability. People say, well, what about the U.S. Army? What about the U.S.? You think the 82nd Airborne is going out of the offensive in Poland? Think again. You think the Stryker brigade that they sent in is going to go on the offensive? No, its job is large-scale screening operations for division-sized heavy armored force, which we don't have. We do have a couple heavy armored brigades. You know, but we've been talking about artillery all day. How many artillery pieces does a U.S. Army heavy artillery brigade have? And the answer is 18. All right. So, no, the U.S. Army can't fight the Russians. We're not capable of fighting the Russians. NATO's not capable of fighting the Russians. And to make matters worse, whatever stockpiles, one of the things that's come out of this war is how ammunition intensive it is. I mean, the Ukrainians have used up, and they had huge amounts of Soviet-era stockpiles. So Ukrainians were able to draw upon stockpiles that the Soviet Union had prepared for a war against NATO. So we're talking about months worth of ammunition stored up. That's all gone. It's all gone. It's finished. They've been destroyed by the Russians or used by the Ukrainians. Now the Ukrainians need more ammunition. The Russians are, you know, shooting 60,000 rounds a day. That's more than we fired in the entire Desert Storm. That's per day. And Russia just said, the head of the Donetsk Republic said, we're prepared to continue this fight through the end of the year. Now, I'm a Marine, so my math skills are pretty tough. But July, August, September, October, November, December, 6 months, 6 times 30, 180 times 60,000. That's a whole bunch of ammunition. And they wouldn't be making this commitment unless they had that ammunition and more ready on hand to fight this war. Russia went to war prepared for the fight. They have the logistics for the fight. NATO doesn't. NATO doesn't have any logistics. If NATO went to war today, let's say everything functioned perfectly, they'd be out of ammunition in a week. They'd be out of fuel in 2 weeks. Then what? The vaunted Air Force? Ask the U.S. Air Force how many air-to-air missiles we have on hand in Europe today. Not that many. Ask them how many we have in the United States ready to be shipped over to Europe. Not that many. Why? We haven't been fighting the air-to-air fight for a long time. And we're not prepared to fight the air-to-air fight. You know who is? Russia. They got a lot of airplanes. They got a lot of air-to-air missiles. Yeah, we may come out in the beginning of the fight and knock down more of their planes than they knock down of ours. But when we run out of missiles, we lose the war. When our airfields cease to function, we lose the war. And if we ever try to put an F-35 in the air, we lose the war because they ain't going to fly. It's going to break and it's just going to sit on the ground as a multi-million dollar piece of junk. The Russians know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They know how to do it. NATO doesn't. NATO has not been. This is not the NATO of your father or grandfather. This is not NATO circa 1985 with, you know, capability of putting 1.5 million men, highly trained men, well-equipped men on the front line, ready to fight now at the drop of a hat. No, this is the dope NATO. This is the woke NATO. This is the NATO that got their butts handed to them in Afghanistan. This is the NATO that couldn't organize their way out of a paper bag. And you expect them to fight Russia? It's not just me.
Scorpio, I just want to add, I mean, Ritter has more to say, but it's very sobering because he has a very astute analysis. I'm convinced, by the way, that this Russian regrouping or retreat is actually drawing Ukrainian forces where Ukrainian authorities have said they've gone all in. They're sending all their forces into this battle. They're going to envelop the Ukrainian forces and annihilate them. This is a historic Russian tactic in wars. As far back as the 18th century, Russia has been practicing this technique. So I think that this confidence, this exuberance being shown by Ukraine has no foundation whatsoever. It's all founded on propaganda. They're getting one side of this story. None of them is listening to anyone with a sober analysis like Scott Ritter. Your thoughts?
Well, and by the way, Jim, I do have my video on, so
nice.
Just so you know.
It's excellent.
Okay, great. Yeah. And, well, you know, I've had questions about this war since the beginning. And part of the problem is either you're going to get NATO propaganda or you're going to get Russian propaganda. It's very difficult to get sort of a neutral viewpoint of what's going on. I've had serious questions about what is happening. I think what you just said is a very good possibility that Russia's sort of, you know, doing a rope-a-dope and drawing them in and, you know, waiting for them to essentially overextend themselves and then counterstrike. But conversely, you know, it does seem to me that Russia has sort of been playing a slow game in this rather than trying to wrap the war up quickly. They're in, it seems to me that Russia is intentionally going with a slow strategy, and there could be a lot of reasons for that. I think one reason coming up, very possibly, is that winter is coming, as they say. Winter is coming, and Europe is completely unprepared. I mean, you're going to have a lot of really angry people in Europe come this winter, and I think the great, you know, support for Ukraine is going to really start to wane. They say, oh, well, now people in Russia are starting to question the war. Well, that's probably true, but how many Europeans and Americans are going to be willing to, you know, sacrifice their economy and basically their way of life so we can defend Ukraine? Ukrainian borders are sacrosanct, but our borders don't matter. Just leave them wide open. Come on in. Do whatever you want. Again, all of this is going to be increasingly hard to sell to the public. And I think part of the problem is the media, or the people who own the media, the Jews and the cabal that owns the media, are kind of getting high on their own supply. They believe their own hype, and they think everyone's buying it, where in reality, we're sort of chipping away at this paradigm every day. And every day, less and less people believe what they hear on the news. There's still a huge percentage of people that do, but every day the numbers keep dropping. And I think once you sort of take that, the red pill, it's really hard to go back and just mindlessly sit in front of the television and believe what you're told. But there, conversely, there is sort of a certain percentage of the population that will always follow the leader. They will always follow power, no matter how absurd it is. They're going to go along with it. Eat bugs? Oh, yes, sir. Those bugs aren't so bad after all. Gee, you get used to it after a while. You know, and so there's a certain percentage they're going to follow, no matter what they're told. But I do think we're chipping away at this narrative every day, and we are slowly, slowly winning in that respect. I don't agree with Ritter's analysis entirely. Go ahead.
Scorpio will be right back after this break.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer. I'm here today with my dear friend and colleague, David Scorpio, who is beginning to comment on Scott Ritter's views before we were so rudely interrupted. Scorpio.
Well, Scott Ritter is kind of an interesting character. I don't know if he knows more about the military than I do, so I have to, give him some credit there, but I'm just, I've been a little confused or a little wondering about exactly what Russia's doing in this war. They started off the offensive using their oldest equipment and their least experienced soldiers, maybe just to get rid of it, just to, use up all the old junk. And rather than, going in a very quick method just to end this thing quickly, topple the government, because that's really what's going to have to happen if they don't topple the Zelensky regime, they're going to keep having problems. And I think the war right now is entering into a very, very dangerous stage, guys. I really do, because the Russians really can't afford to back down and lose this war now, because it's going to embolden NATO to a degree that we've never seen before. And obviously, so much of this war was caused by NATO aggression. I mean, there's been five waves of NATO expansion after it was promised by, George H.W. Bush, that NATO would not expand one inch to the east. Well, that ended up being a lie, like almost everything the man ever said. And so Russia really has, sort of been goaded or almost forced into this situation, much like they did to Japan prior to World War II. A lot of the same techniques were used to Japan as have been used to Russia. only now these things are backfiring on the United States and Europe very, very badly. So I'm not sure that I agree that Russia's about to just sweep in and win everything really quickly, like Scott Ritter says. But conversely, I don't think the Russians have any choice. They cannot back down. They can't retreat and lose the war. And that makes things much, much more dangerous. And I think we're going to see an escalation of this war that could even possibly spill into other countries. I think that's on the table, for these globalists or whatever you want to call them, this cabal. It's on the table to intentionally start a European war to destroy the economy. Because if you look at it, you know, with all this stuff, you can look at it at different layers or different levels. We can analyze it on the level that's presented to the public, or we can go into higher realms and look at it from a higher perspective. One perspective is that this war serves the function, as COVID did, as the New Green Deal does, which is to destroy the economy, to deindustrialize, and to sort of reset things, to create a situation where, well, we have no choice. We have to reset. We have to do a whole new system. This system's broken. So that's another possibility that's going on here, is that they're going to use this war to destroy the economies and to make it so that there's no choice. Well, when it's not enough, resources and power, or this old system's no good, we're going to have to go with something new. So that's kind of how I see it. I think it's a complicated thing, Jim. And I think one thing's for sure, we're entering into a much more dangerous stage of this war right now.
Just two or three comments. Scorpio, Scott Ritter is absolutely right about the relative preparedness of the two sides, that the Russians are prepared for this and NATO is not, that the Russians are in for the long haul, NATO is not, and that I think you can take that to the bank. Now, the older equipment is deliberate because you want to find out what the Ukrainians actually have. They've been secretly supplied by the West. You don't know if they have these, anti-tank missiles, all kinds of sophisticated stuff. So you put out some of your old stuff to see exactly what they got without running the risk of losing some of your best equipment. So that's deliberate. It's also gradual because the Russians were humane. They wanted to protect the civilian population from harm. It's the Ukrainians who are neo-Nazis, or in some cases overt Nazis, who are willing to slaughter their own people, and as they have done several times now, to make it out to be war crimes, and were even barraging this nuclear power plant, where, as you well know, Chernobyl, when we had that historic meltdown, was also in Ukraine. So Zelensky, I think, is even willing to have another nuclear meltdown, where the Russians have very appropriately taken it off the electrical grid. They're now cutting off electricity to Ukraine. The Europeans brought this on themselves by imposing these massive sanctions on Russia, even after Putin had laid out in his magisterial speech of February 24, the empire of lies, the rationale, the reasons why Russia was having to undertake in the aftermath of the coup of 2014, where Victoria Nuland expended some $5 billion of American taxpayer money to drive out the Russia-friendly president and install a Western-friendly puppet. And it was at that point that Ukraine began shelling the Donbass region, where there's so many Russian speakers, and it would eventually lead to Donetsk and Luhansk declaring themselves to be independent republics, which Russia has acknowledged. And, of course, we had these Crimean referendum, which was all in accordance with international law, to return to a part of Russia. What Americans don't understand is, historically, for hundreds of years, Ukraine has been a part of Russia. And it was Nikita Khrushchev, who was himself a Ukrainian, who declared the independence of Ukraine. But it was a dumb idea then. And what we have in its place is this puppet clown fraudster who plays a piano with his penis. I mean, give me a break. And who's looting the West. I mean, the West is absolutely complicit in dumping all this equipment, all this money, which he and his cronies are pocketing. They're buying expensive villas in Switzerland, islands in the Caribbean. And the Biden admin, which is as corrupt as we've ever had in the history of the United States, is, of course, just going along with the whole party, the whole charade, because they I have said before, Scarbio, and it's increasingly obvious, if you assume George Soros is the acting president of the United States, then it all falls into place. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, that's good points, Jim. And you know, I think another thing we need to look at is what is the new Ukraine going to look like? You know, so much, if you look at the footage, a lot of cities and buildings and towns are being essentially not leveled, but they're going to have to be destroyed and rebuilt. So what's going to happen? Who is all these Ukrainians have moved out. Who's going to move in? And I don't think it's an accident that the modern borders of Ukraine basically mimic the ancient borders of Khazaria. That's another factor here. That's another level of looking at this. Is this a new Khazaria? Is this Israel 2.0? That's a possibility. And here's one thing that's really interesting, Jim, that's just recently being floated, and it's making its way into the mainstream, you know, enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media, that Ukraine is going to need $6 billion a month for the foreseeable future, not just temporarily, but for the foreseeable future. So think about that. That's an enormous amount of money that we're supposed to just keep shelling out to Ukraine, because why is Ukraine so important to America? How does that serve America's interests at all? And, you know, as far as NATO goes, NATO is an artificial construct. It's a dinosaur. It shouldn't even exist anymore, quite frankly. But now this war is giving, you know, reason for NATO to exist, but it really shouldn't, because I think as we move forward, you're going to have increasing discontentment in Europe with the EU and this overarching structure that runs the EU, because individual countries are getting screwed, and you're going to have a lot of people that are going to have trouble heating their homes. I mean, this is like unheard of in Europe in modern history, Jim.
Yeah, it appears the whole provocation was really precipitated to defeat turning on the Nord Stream 2 with Germany, because that was going to provide Western Europe with cheap gas. It was going to consolidate economic and commercial relations between Russia and Germany, which is a key player in all of Europe. It was going to show NATO was unnecessary, antiquated. It was going to bring an era of peace. So the military-industrial complex and the Warhawks had to ensure that did not happen. And I believe that the Ukrainian war was the instrument to defeat Nord Stream 2 because of the sanctions. Now the Russians have cut off Nord Stream 1. So instead of Europe benefiting from this virtually, and you're absolutely right about the natural production of gas and oil by Earth, it is an unlimited supply. As long as Earth exists, we're going to have gas and oil in superabundance, more than we could ever utilize on Earth, which ought to bring down the price and make it, you know, very effective. Europe now is in a state of shambles. The weather is going to be catastrophic. There are already popular uprisings. You have all these NWO leaders, whether it's in Germany or France or the Netherlands or whatnot, they're doing all these absurd things that are detrimental. For example, they're having the Netherlands farmers shut down their farms, which is, reduce the access of meat to the American people, as you say, part of the bug agenda. But the fact is, this is such a monstrous situation. Now, it's Jacob Rothschild, the current head of the Rothschild Empire, has declared Vladimir Putin is an enemy of the New World Order, and that the New World Order cannot proceed without Ukraine. So I think that this is actually the central, at least military event taking place in the world today, Scorpio. I mean, that's obvious in the trivial sense. I mean, in the deeper sense with regard to the future of the world that Reinhard Fulmich was outlining as we progress toward the New World Order at an alarming speed. I mean, it's astonishing that Ukraine should turn out to be so central. Ukraine is historically the most corrupt nation in Europe. And I agree with you, too. The whole European Union, you know, it's falling apart. And I don't see any way it can be salvaged. Your further thoughts?
No, I don't think it can be salvaged only through force. I think this is going to come down to force eventually. And again, one thing that is on our side is this agenda is not going to be popular with anybody except for the, you know, the plutocrats, the oligarchs, and the this cabal that essentially controls the Western world entirely. And I think it's up for debate how deeply the hooks are in China. Certainly, I don't subscribe to the theory that China is just gone rogue. It's on its own. Where, you know, if you look at the history of China, the West has done everything it can to get China to the place it's in now. And I don't think that that was by accident. Certainly there had to have been people that realized, well, hey, you know, it might be bad for national security if we ship all our jobs and, you know, factories and production to China. That might be a national security threat. They had to have known that, yet it was done anyway. So that means that there was some kind of a secret deal behind the scenes to make this happen. Because, you know, in the 1970s, the economy of China was essentially an agrarian one. And it was a backwards nation. People were riding around on bicycles. And, you know, I mean, there wasn't, you know, the transformation of China has happened so fast. It could not have been done without great assistance from the West. And when you look at the model they want for this so-called New World Order, it's going to mimic what is in China. If you want to see the future of what they have planned for you and your family, look to China, because that's essentially what they want to do worldwide. They want to export that system worldwide. And again, nobody's going to want this except for this insane group of oligarchs, plutocrats, and this cabal, which is certainly
in the first.
You know, a lot of Jews there, you know, they're overrepresented. Let's say that.
Oh, Scorpio, you got it right. Now, just to show how far out the government here in the United States has gone to instill fear and to try to decimate the mega Republicans, the FBI has now tracked down Mike Lindell on a hunting trip, surrounded his car, and seized his cell phone. While heading home from a hunting trip with a friend, he was at a Hardee's in Minnesota when cars pulled up in front of us, to the side of us and beside us, and I said, they're either bad guys or the FBI, and it turns out they were FBI. Actually, he was being redundant, because the FBI is bad guys too. It's absolutely stunning what's going on here. They stopped him and seized his cell phone. I can't even imagine that you can take someone's phone because they want me to be a witness in the Tina Peters case, but I'm not a witness. They just want my phone. Lindell is the latest Trump ally to receive a warrant or subpoena from the FBI. Last week, the Biden DOJ hit dozens of Trump aides and allies with subpoenas as part of their investigation into efforts to overturn the results of the 2020 election over claims of fraud that handed Biden the White House, as well as the run-up to January 6th. Interesting how the Biden DOJ waited more than 18 months right before the midterm to initiate legal action against Trump world, and Biden said he wouldn't weaponize the Justice Department. Tucker has been very good. He's been all over this. I think they're desperate for the following kind of reason. A quote attributed to George H.W. Bush, it said Bush had revealed to a news reporter in the 90s that if the American public ever found out what we have done, they would lynch us. Here's what we had number 41 reporting. If the American people ever find out what we've done, they'll chase us down the street and lynch us. HWGHWB, June 1992, to Sarah McClendon. Here's a part of the report about it. It would have not been possible, and it was not possible at the time to do it. I think George Bush said it very well in an interview with Sarah McClendon, the grand dame of the Washington Press Corps. When Bush consented to an interview with Ms. McClendon in June of 1992, he said on the record, which he printed in her newsletter, when she asked him about Iran-Contra, he said, and I'm quoting from her newsletter, if the people were ever to find out what we've done, we would be chased down the streets and lynched. This was a public comment by George Bush. George Bush actually admitted it. He said it, and it was printed in Ms. McClendon's newsletter of June of 1992. Now, Scorpio, not surprisingly, the fact checkers are wanting to deny it. But I think that's a current situation in Washington, D.C. with the Democrats. They're fearful of the American people figure out what they've done to America since since Biden came into office, which is a massive agenda of destruction, initially canceling the XL pipeline, revoking permits to drill on federal land, more than 4.9 million coming across the borders, the COVID mandates, the whole bunch that goes along with it. I think they would be outraged. I think they're fearful they might be chased down the street and lynched. I think it's that bad. So that they're absolutely desperate to do whatever they can to forestall the midterm and to trash Trump and try to find some way to preclude him from running for 2024 again, because they anticipate, they know damn well, and clean their clock just as he did in 2016 and in 2020 before they manipulated the vote. Your thoughts?
Well, thank God they, you know, are dealing with dangerous criminals like Mike Lindell, you know. Gosh, it, you know, everyone knows that the, his MyPillows, you know, they have a secret microphone that goes directly to the Kremlin, you know, inside of them. So, you know, he's obviously a Russian agent, and, you know, thank God they stopped him. Well, you know, Jim, the FBI is completely discrediting itself. In fact, I believe the FBI has been deeply corrupt since its inception. We had a man, J. Edgar Hoover, who was in, what, over 30 years? And who actually, at one point, denied the very existence of the mafia. It was just a conspiracy theory. There's no such thing as the organized crime or the mafia. So nothing to see here, folks. And, of course, you know, he was obviously blackmailed. And I think, you know, the tradition of J. Edgar Hoover lives on. And the FBI now is really turned into sort of a modern Stasi. It's turned into... you know, an enforcement arm of essentially, with lack of a better term, the New World Order. And they're completely discrediting themselves on all fronts. It's absolutely disgusting. And really, if you look at, say, the Russian Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, this is exactly how things were handled at that time, including emptying out the prisons and releasing essentially what amounts to shock troops on the streets. And so this is what they're doing as well. You know, they're decriminalizing everything. Oh, no more bail. Just you commit murder. Go ahead and a second degree murder. Go ahead and you're free to go. It's OK. Just make sure you show up to court, you know. And so I think with, you know, the goal with that is to sort of create chaos on the streets and make it look the system's broken. We have to do something. And of course, you know, this idea, I guess, what something like 20 or 30 Trump associates have been raided or subpoenaed.
I think it may be 50.
Yeah. It's something like that. It's outrageous. Anyone connected to the radioactive Trump, the, you know, and I, you and I disagree on Trump. I'm kind of closer to what, you know, essentially what Mike Sledge said on. You did a great interview with Mike Sledge, and I think Sledge kind of outlined my thoughts on Trump. But you know, again, it depends on what level we're looking at it. If we're looking at it at the political level, the game that a lot of players are actually playing, this is certainly the goal is to completely discredit any, what would you call it, resistance to this agenda. And what I believe they've done is they've pulled all resistance into Trump. They've made Trump the lightning rod. So if you are resistant to what they're planning on doing, you must be a Trump supporter, and therefore you're a domestic terrorist. And, you know, there's this grand conspiracy, even though, oh, I thought conspiracies didn't exist. Well, that one exists. This conspiracy, to overturn the election, and all this flimsy evidence that they've put forth is laughable. And, of course, you know, the election was stolen. I don't think there's any doubt about that. There's so much evidence to that. It's not even funny. I mean, just one obvious glaring thing is that Joe Biden couldn't get enough people to fill an internet chat room at most of his events when he actually had one. And Trump would have 40, 50,000 people with another 10,000 people waiting outside. So certainly there's a lot of popularity there, no question. And the election was stolen. And this whole conspiracy theory that they're weaving together is really disgusting and pathetic. And I think they could actually use the assistance of people that actually understand how conspiracies work, because the one they're trying to weave together is just pathetic, and it's just not the least bit believable.
Well, this politicalization of the Department of Justice and the FBI is what we find in third world banana republics. In other words, Biden has turned the USA into a banana republic. The whole world is laughing. He's so cognitively incompetent. Kamala is a airhead. I've never seen a more brainless twit. I mean, she can't handle an ordinary conversation, much less do any serious delivery of any serious thought, of which she and he are both utterly incapable. So it's really astonishing what's taking place. I'm fascinated by your point that the Bolsheviks released all the criminals into the street. Here's Michael Snyder, a very smart guy, following up, basically, what in the world is wrong with this country? Just when it seems we can't possibly go any lower, we manage to top ourselves or bottom out. In the old days, every once in a while, I come across a story that would make me shake my head in disbelief because it was so absurd. Now it's happening on a daily basis. I'm going to share some examples with you. I realize some are difficult to believe, but all of them are true. Our country really is coming apart at the seams in front of our eyes, and the pace of our decline only seems to be accelerating. If we are unable to turn our cultural decay around, eventually we won't have a country at all. Get this. A new law that will go into effect in Illinois on January 1st. From that point forward, those guilty of second-degree murder, kidnapping, burglary, and arson will be released without having to pose bail. When a new Illinois law takes effect next year, it will do away with the cash bail system in the state, meaning suspects charged with felonies, including second-degree murder, aggravated battery, and arson, will be released without bail. The Countersignal reports the Safety, Accountability, Fairness, and Equity Today Act, also called the SAFETY Act, would end cash bail and includes 12 non-detainable offenses, second-degree murder, aggravated battery, and arson without bail, as well as drug-induced homicide, kidnapping. That's, by the way, a capital offense, too. Burglary, robbery, intimidation, aggravated DUI, aggravated fleeing and eluding, drug offenses, and threatening a public official. Takes effect on January 1st, 2023. Criminals charged with the crime mentioned above will be released without bail. How many criminals do you think will actually show up for their trials? Well, there might be a few. We'll be back this week.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourself. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet?
I hope.
We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, Scorpio, this story is making the very point you are making yourself. I mean, it's absurd turning criminals out on the street. My God. And the whole idea of defunding the police was absurd from the beginning. I mean, give us a break. Your further thoughts? I mean, they have a game plan. They know exactly what they're doing, and they're staying right on the script.
Indeed, they do. They have a covert agenda. And again, it's going to be increasingly difficult to sell this to the public. And we see the subterfuge and the deceit that they have to go through to try to convince people to go along with it. And one thing they constantly do is they sort of trick people by, you know, reaching out to their compassion. You know, oh, this poor criminal, you know, we shouldn't lock him up. But, you know, I do think there's lots of room for reform within the prison system because, you know, until somewhere around the 1930s, early 1940s, the whole point of the criminal system was to try to reform people, not just punish.
Rehabilitate. And,
you know,
yeah,
rehabilitate. And I think there's really some room for that, but there really is a group of people that are just have gone to the dark side. They're evil. And you're not going to fix them. There's something wrong with them. And they have to be separated from society in some way. No question about that. But unfortunately, prison has turned into a big business. And so there's a lot of room for improvement there. But the idea of just releasing people back in the streets, this is deliberate. There's no question about it, Jim. And it's all, you know, part of what they want to do, too, is create this air of chaos. So they can say, well, the system's broken. We have to do something. This just isn't working anymore. You know, we didn't see this coming. And when are people going to just say, look, you know, this isn't incompetence. This isn't mismanagement. This is on purpose. All of this stuff that we're facing is completely unnecessary. We could be in a very different world if people refuse to comply with and accept the reality that they're presenting to us. So the game that we're playing is interactive. It's not just a matter of what they're doing to us and we're just the victims. We really do have to start taking a proactive stance and refuse to comply. And so many parts of this agenda really are falling apart. I mean, the COVID agenda has been decimated, and this shot, this injection, this toxic witch's brew of very dangerous things that have been injected into people, that agenda is falling apart. Nobody wants the boosters. several countries are going to stop offering the new shots. No more, that's enough, because, you know, so many people have experienced family members dying or getting sick. It's touched my life. I know five people through my circle of friends who died within 2 weeks of taking this injection. And I know a lot of other people who have had very strange maladies and fast-acting cancers within a month of taking this. So that's falling apart. And the trust, the system aspect, you know, trust the plan, trust the science, that's coming apart too. And so I really do think that more people than we think are starting to get a clue as to what's going on. You can't let anything you see on television, reflect reality. It's all made up. It's all controlled. And I think the true state of the people waking up is actually increasing exponentially right now.
Well, I think those are great points. Meanwhile, of course, many of our woke judges are doing their very best to make sure that many violent criminals never pay the price for their crimes, even if they do stand trial. This is Michael Snyder continuing. In California, a judge granted a mistrial to one defendant just because he didn't get a good night's sleep the night before. A California judge who hails from a powerful Democrat family who endorsed L.A. D.A. George Gascon, who's, of course, a woke D.A., granted a mistrial for a man facing life in prison because he was sleepy. The alleged criminal didn't get a good night's rest before the trial after spending the night in a cell without a bed or a blanket. Seriously? Now this violent criminal is back on the streets, even though he pointed a gun in the face of a female fast food worker and threatened to blow her brains out. Our system of justice is being destroyed systematically, but many Americans don't care because they're drugged out of their minds. We have the biggest problem with legal drugs in the entire planet, but also the biggest problem with illegal drugs. There are various stories telling a speeding woman is accused of driving under the influence of cocaine and alcohol when she crashed into another car, killing its driver, who was under the influence of methamphetamines. Summer Butler, 37, faces charges of DUI resulting in death, reckless driving, and being in possession of a controlled substance in connection with a fatal crash in January. At this point, it seems almost everyone is an addict, including many of our government officials. Here's an example. A Louisiana state official was arrested for allegedly buying drugs from a dealer outside a fast food chain on Tuesday. Bridget Holt, 37, executive secretary for the Louisiana State Board of Private Security Examiners, was purchasing drugs from dealer Stephen McCarthy, who was under surveillance, when a Louisiana Attorney General office employee recognized him at Livingston Parish Restaurant. Hall was arrested on site, but McCarthy fled the scene after backup was called, resulting in a pursuit. He later crashed into another car and was arrested. If we would secure our borders, we could at least reduce the flow of illegal drugs into the country, but the Biden administration refuses to do it. So the worst drug crisis in all of U.S. history continues to escalate. Substances laced with fentanyl continue to kill. San Diego and Imperial County, the epicenter of fentanyl drug trafficking in the U.S., have reported seizures of fentanyl up 334% between 2019 and 2021. Fentanyl overdose death, Scorpio, increased 2,375% in San Diego County between 2016 and 2021. A decade ago, we didn't even know about fentanyl. Now it's a national crisis, said the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of California. The amount of fentanyl we're seizing at the border is staggering. The number of fentanyl seizures and fentanyl-related deaths are unprecedented. if you're waiting for our national leaders to fix our growing problems, you're going to be waiting for a really, really long time. Every major decision they make seems to make things worse. And the Biden admin keeps appointing extremely alarming individuals to top position. Get this. He just appointed a doctor who's absolutely obsessed with pentagrams to the national monkeypox response to be the national monkeypox response deputy coordinator. Meet Dimitri Daskalakis. Dimitri was just appointed by Biden to be the official White House national monkeypox response deputy coordinator. Dimitri proudly wears the official symbol of the Church of Satan, the pentagram. Joe Biden appointed a Satanist to the White House, and he has lots of tattoos to go along with it. Here's the official glowing announcement from Biden that he's appointed Dimitri to this prominent White House position. No mention of Satanism in this press release. Here's more, not cherry-picking here. The pentagram is proudly displayed in his promotional photos for his CDC appointment. It's ubiquitous on his social media. Dimitri has Pentagon tattoos. So it's a fair question. Did Joe Biden appoint a Satanist? So far, only a small handful of conservatives are objecting to the appointment. What in the world is wrong with this country? Have we gone completely and totally nuts? Perhaps we have. Close to one-fourth of Democrat voters actually believe that men can get pregnant. A poll conducted by WPA Intel has found almost one-quarter of Democrat voters believe some men can become pregnant. 22% of Democrats overall agreed with the statement. The poll also found more women agreed with the statement, and an incredible 36% of white college-educated female Democrats agreed. We aren't just in a state of decline. The truth is we're in a very advanced state of decline, and the clock is ticking. If you love this nation, what has happened to us should deeply sadden you. We were once the greatest country on the entire planet, but now we are rapidly being destroyed from within. Scorpio, truer words. Your thoughts?
Well, there's a lot to unpack there. It's interesting. The parade of weirdos, clowns, and degenerate freaks that have been brought into this government really sort of beginning in earnest under Obama. And, of course, earlier than that, too, Michael Aquino was involved in the military, an open Satanist. And this guy that's obsessed on pentagrams, that's just another weirdo of many that's been brought in. And, of course, inside a pentagram is the Pentagon, not to sound like Jordan Maxwell too much, but the Pentagon is the little shape that's inside the pentagram. And, the Pentagon, the groundbreaking for the Pentagon was on September 11th. That's when they started building the Pentagon. So the occultic roots of this stuff goes back pretty far, and it's a shame what's happened to the West, that this group of degenerates and clowns and weirdos have really taken over our civilization. And again, you have what trannies and whatever you want to call them, transsexuals that are in top positions in the Pentagon now and in the military. The military is never intended to be a social experiment project or a social warrior project. The purpose of the military is to kill the enemy. And I really do think the military has been intentionally softened up. I think Scott Ritter is right about that. Same with NATO. The same forces of weirdness and degeneracy have crept into NATO, and which is a dinosaur, shouldn't even exist now.
Yeah.
So, go ahead, Jim.
No, continue, Scorpio.
It's just a great article. I mean, it's hard to argue with anything that's going on there. And again, this is all totally unnecessary. There's no reason our civilization should be shaped by a fringe element of people. There's always been gay people. That's fine. But to shape our civilization around them, and most importantly, to let children be influenced by them or have, sort of access to homosexual propaganda is extremely dangerous. And of course, they know what they're doing. This isn't incompetence. We need to lose this idea that the people running the show, they're incompetent. That's not what's going on. This is deliberate. It's on purpose. And again, I do believe the homosexual agenda also dovetails into this depopulation thing, because as we all know, homosexuals cannot have children. You know, men cannot get pregnant. And so I think also the reason they're doing this is it shakes the very foundation of what it means to be a human being. Our gender identity, the family unit, these are the very cores of what it makes up human civilization. And they're breaking that apart. And it's right out of the communist playbook. So much of it is. But I do think the system that's coming is a lot bigger than just communism. It's going to be a hybrid system. There's going to be different elements, because I think over the centuries, they've been studying different types of government to see what's the most effective, what's the most efficient. And you're going to have elements of technocracy within this too, as well as communism and totalitarianism. And we're seeing the technocratic part of it being brought forward, because they're, you know, trust the science. We have scientists in charge here. Don't question the science, even though so much of it is non-replicatable and it's not really science. Climate science is not science. Plugging a bunch of numbers into a computer model is not science. It's called speculation, and that's all it is. And so, again, science has been completely corrupted, but that's part of this system will be technocracy, which is, you know, having scientists run the show because they're so much smarter than you are, the little people.
Well, it's modeling, computer modeling, and, you know, the principle GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. If you make faulty assumptions, you're not going to get a decent model. That's what led us into the COVID pandemic. We had a phony model out of Imperial College from Neil Ferguson projecting that 2 million Americans were going to die, 500,000 Brits, if we didn't lock down the country immediately. Just stunning stuff. Now, I'm convinced this tranny agenda is driven largely because Barack Obama himself is gay. He had a tort affair with Rahm Emanuel, well-known in Chicago in the bathhouses, then brought him along as the chief of staff when he went to the White House. He is married to a man, born Michael LeVon Robinson, whom a physician who was attending her at a campaign in Trent walked into her taking a leak standing up, was paid billions for his silence, but has revealed that this is not a man who underwent a sex change. This is a man with breast implants and a huge shaving bill. And I think it's the fact that they're perverts themselves has led them to promote perversion. They want to feel normal. They want everyone to be as abnormal as they are. And, of course, their kids are not theirs. They're borrowed from a physician. And would you believe, Scorpio, we have video off of the Hunter Biden laptop with him in bed with two nubile young girls with a little white dog on the bed that was given to them by Barack, their nominal father. He's in bed with the Obama kids. And, of course, they met each other when he was vice president to Barack. I mean, it's all disgusting beyond belief. Now, satire has to have a role in truth, but get this from the Babylon Bee, two stories that are going to knock your socks off. FBI concerned that if MAGA doesn't conduct a terrorist attack soon, they'll have to fake one. Washington, after weeks of unsuccessfully stoking Trump supporters toward violent action, the FBI has changed course, beginning internal discussion for executing a mega-style attack using FBI resources. We are already at defense readiness condition 3. This means if the extreme mega wind doesn't act, we will bypass a clean close agent phase at DEFCON 1, bring out our biggest weapon, Ray Epps. FBI Director Christopher Wray addressed a roundtable of defense ministers, eliciting scattered gasps when he invoked Ray Epps, the infamous FBI asset with experience in starting insurrections. The attempts to get mega Republicans to commit terrorism have escalated in recent weeks. The gentle initial prodding of the Mar-a-Lago raid failed to evoke a riot, and the prodding was then escalated to a speech by Biden with obvious fascistic overtones attacking Trump supporters, finally culminating the raiding of over 50 Trump ally homes last week. If that doesn't do it, what will, said Ray. Critics have contended there's no widespread evidence of the FBI's history of supporting and propagating terrorism to justify crackdowns on the current administration and political enemies. Ted Cruz, however, has asked pointed questions about FBI involvement in perpetrating the events of January 6th, and Cruz asked Justice Department representative whether the FBI was involved. The FBI provided a comprehensive answer to Cruz, saying, "Shut up." At publishing time, several dozen military-age males with crew cuts had shown up in attendance to an election justice rally of Trump supporters, but were sadly outed as feds and given swirlies and wedgies. Here's another. Trump voters put Biden signs in their yard so that the FBI will pass over them. Here's a sign. I love Joe Biden. Lee's Summit, Missouri. In an effort to escape the wrath of a weaponized federal government, supporters of former President Donald Trump are placing Biden signs in their yards with the hope it will cause the FBI to pass over their homes. Of all the different catastrophes plaguing the country these days, we expect the FBI raids to be the worst, said Josh Wares as he hammered the post, bearing the Biden sign into his front yard. If we make it look like we're devoted Biden followers, maybe the regime will have mercy on us and will be spared. Fears have grown among conservatives if they have watched the Biden administration unleash a series of devastating plagues on the United States, including crushing inflation, oppressive gas prices, high unemployment, and rising taxes. It only stands to reason, some say, that new waves of FBI raids are imminent. We've heard about the great exodus of conservatives leaving places like California, so we need to be ready for anything, Josh's wife Monique Ware said as she hurriedly prepared some unleavened bread. Placing a Biden sign in the yard is just one of the ways we can prepare for the coming storm. Plus, Biden's goons are probably dumb enough to be fooled by a yard sign anyway. At publishing time, the Weir's family was holding out hope that this ruse would do the trick. I'm not sure what else we can do to avoid detection, Josh said as he surveyed the yard sign. Painting the blood of a mega Republican on her doorpost might be the next step. I'm telling you, humor is replicating reality, Scorpio. That's exactly where we're at. I mean, it's just incredible.
Well, that's true, Jim. And, you know, a lot of news stories almost look like something right out of the Babylon Bee. But, no, it's a real story. And I do think that satire is going to become increasingly important in this struggle because what they're doing is so absurd. And, if you know, the best humor always is transmitting truth. That's what makes it you laugh because, oh, my God, that's true. And you start laughing because it's true. And we've even seen an attack on humor. You know, with the modern liberal, everything's offensive. You can't make fun of anything. You're going to hurt someone's feelings. So no more humor, you know. And but that's not going to work because it's human nature to want to laugh. It's a very important thing. And as I said, the best humor always is transmitting truth. And I think that's a very good tool in our arsenal right now, Jim.
Well, I'll tell you, Tucker's taken to doing whole monologues that are nothing but satire. I mean, he's just going on, and it's very effective, very cutting. I just can't believe that the United States has sunk to this level of depravity. It's just absolutely unbelievable. Meanwhile, get this. Even the CDC director is admitting the agency gets false information on COVID vaccine safety monitoring. How unbelievable. The director, or should I say, all too believable. The director of the CIA has acknowledged publicly for the first time the agency gave false data about its COVID vaccine safety monitoring. Dr. Rochelle Walensky said in a letter made public on September 12th, the CDC did not analyze certain types of adverse event reports at all, despite the agency claiming it started in February of 2021. CDC performed our PRR analysis between March 25, 2022 through July 31, 2021, Walensky said. CDC also recently addressed a previous statement made to the Epoch Times to clarify that PRR were not run between February 26, 2021 to September 30, 2021, which would have been the most important time to do it, Scorpio. Walensky's agency promised in several docs started in early 2021 to perform a type of analysis called proportional reporting ratio, that's a PRR, on reports submitted to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which it helps manage. But the agency said it did not perform PRRs. It also said performing them was outside the agency's purview. Confronted with a contradiction, Dr. John Hsu, a CDC official, told the Epoch Times, in July, the agency began performing PRRs in Feb of 2021 and continues to do so to date. But just weeks later, the CDC said Hsu was wrong. CDC performed PRRs from March 25th to 2022 through July 31st, 2022, a spokeswoman told them in August. Her newsletter, dated September 2nd, set on September 6th, to Ron Johnson, my senator here in Wisconsin, of whom I'm extremely proud, shows Walensky's aware her agency gave false information. Here's a letter to Ron Johnson acknowledging that what they were saying was wrong. It included no explanation of why it happened, and they're not responding to requests. Scorpio, this is just disgusting. I mean, every agency that we have come to rely upon in the past to look out for our well-being, the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, all the way up to the WHO, have completely abdicated and are working against us. They're doing the opposite of the Hippocratic obligation to first do no harm. It's insulting. But it's destructive and bringing about death and devastation on an unprecedented scale, deliberately.
Absolutely, Jim. I think deliberately is the key word here. We cannot excuse any of this as, well, it's incompetence. They didn't know what they're doing. They're just really stupid. And, you know, a lot of, you know, conservative, so-called conservative, you know, pundits like Sean Hannity love to go there. Oh, it's just incompetence. These liberals don't know what they're doing. Now, they do know what they're doing. These people are deliberate criminals. And Walensky, the idea that she's going to somehow reform the mess that she made is insane. The whole FDA, the CDC need to be cleaned out. But the problem is that they're so deeply corrupt, there's no reforming any of these organizations now. They need to be abolished.
Let me put out the number. We want to take callers. 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Scorpio and I will be here for your call. We're about to hit the break, of course, but I'm so delighted to have him here with me today. Welcome back to Revolution Radio, my friend.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. These people need to go to jail. A lot of people need to go to jail. That's likely to happen with the current legal system we have.
We'll be taking your calls right after this break.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, unsurprisingly, we have a couple callers on the line. First is Bruce in Texas. Bruce, you're on the air with Scorpio and me. Your thoughts?
Hey, guys. Great to hear you, Scorpio.
Oh, thank you, Bruce.
Well, yeah. I'll be quick because there's other callers on hold right now. You know, it's just incredible. With Germany after World War II, they were bombed the smithereens. And due to their industrial nature and their technical expertise, you know, they crawled out of the ruins. They rebuilt their car industry, but they're being bled, you know, by giving all this aid, these reparations to Israel and the free submarines and this Holocaust stuff. And now they're just being crushed again. I mean, and we here in the United States, you know, this is a reward we get for winning World War II, is tranny story time and having your children, you know, having their genitals mutilated. And, you know, if you look at the Ukraine, you know, Vladimir Zelensky, the chief of staff who put forth that proposal to practically join NATO, Andriy Yermak, the Azov Battalion billionaire, and him and the guy I've mentioned before, both in the media, Igor Kolomowski. Then we have Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Victoria Nuland, Merrick Garland, and you go on and on. And also through the COVID and the CDC. I mean, you can draw a common line between all this. You know, we have a problem, and it's called a JQ. And the world's going to go up in flames. And what do y'all think? I mean... We've beaten this horse to death before, but, you know, it's there, and it's not a horse. It's a damn elephant.
Yeah, go ahead, Scorpio. You want to reply to Bruce's observations?
Yeah, you know, just by coincidence, Merrick Garland, whose real name is, you know, Garfinkel, you know, these people you all mentioned are Jews or Jewish. And I think, you know, we face a very big problem. We have an organized group of people who are on board in a certain agenda. But I do think there's other players involved, and that doesn't excuse anything that the Jews are doing. And I think we need to define who are the Jews and what is a Jew, and what is the real agenda here. But yeah, these people are systematically trying to destroy Western civilization. They've had a deep hatred of it for a very long time. And I think the bottom line is, you know, people are have the right to create their own civilizations and their own destiny. And that's going to be the overarching picture here. You can't have some centralized cabal determining what the entire world does. Each group of people has the right to associate or not to associate and to create their own culture. That's going to be a very big issue moving forward.
Further thoughts?
Right, yeah.
Bruce?
Yeah, yeah. Before I go, I watched the Tucker Carlson yesterday, and he had this thing on crime in the United States. And, you know, they're turning, when I watched Black Hawk Down, back when did it come out? 1990? Or 1999, whenever it came out, you know, and I saw that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and you had, you know, these violent black youths running around jacked up with AK-47s. It was a bedlam, you know. And we're having that here in our streets being brought to us by the aforementioned. It's nuts. And you can't defend yourself against these savages. This is what they are. They've been, you know, their society has been wrecked. But that's not my fault. But I have to take a mugging or a killing, you know, or I have to let them into my home and to steal my junk, you know, because of what? Because of slavery. And, oh, I said the N-word. I guess that's a gallows for me then. It's nuts. I can't deal with it anymore.
Nuts is the
that's
N-word.
All I got.
Okay, we're
going the N-word. Oh, my God. It's almost like the J-word, isn't it?
We're glad to hear from you, Bruce. Brian in Missouri. Brian, join the conversation.
David, I heard you mention the pentagram, and I know that you're curious about stuff like that. And I'm the one that called in probably a week or so ago. And I told you, I download from my higher self, and I downloaded where the 666 comes from. And I'm sorry, my soul gets close to my ego mind, and I get this way sometimes. But I can tell you where that comes from, and no one knows. You don't hear anything about it.
Go
if
ahead.
You want to hear it.
Go ahead.
Okay. If you look through the Hubble Space Telescope at new worlds being created, I don't know if you've ever seen those images. It looks like for a new star system or planet, whatever, it looks like three sixes superimposed on one another, spinning, and the sixes are in three different juxtapositions, okay? So that's where it comes from. Now, that's the divine when you see it circling. What the dark do is then they make everything linear. They get a linear line and put those three sixes on the linear line, and then they do all their dark crap on it. So no one knows that. It's just like, you know, they invert everything. You look at a rainbow, that's Gaia's chakras. You know, they start red, orange, yellow, green, blue. And so it's no coincidence that the rainbow flag for LGBT has the same colors, but the red starts up on the top and works down because they've inverted it. They've taken it over. So anyway, that's what I had on that. I thought you'd find that interesting.
Scorpio?
Well, yeah, we're kind of getting to the esoteric here. You know, we could do a whole show on the origins of 666 and how far back that goes into occultic literature and the various meanings of it. So I guess that's a topic for a whole other show. But there's no question that for whatever reason, they've chosen that as part of their symbology, and they've packed a lot of energy behind it, and that's part of, you know, the an occultic sense what they're doing with rituals and numbers and that, and you know, the rainbow, of course, is just the spectrum of light, and there's different interpretations of that too, but I'm seeing this rainbow thing everywhere. It's just disgusting. I walked by this little a preschool, and they had a rainbow on the fence, like the fence is painted a rainbow. So they're really wanting to get the kids young to corrupt their minds with essentially degenerate thinking, intentionally toxic degenerate thinking. And that's what we face here right now. And the problem is, you're not going to reform the school system. You're not going to reform the CDC. and you're not going to reform the FBI. Some things just have to be cut out like a cancer and destroyed. We don't need all this government that we have. And part of the reason why they want to have such a degenerate society is if you have a bunch of degenerate people who don't know how to behave, it necessitates a very strong, powerful government. And that's part of the game we're playing, too.
Thanks very much for calling in, Brian. We have another caller from North Carolina. Michael, join the conversation.
Hey, hi, guys. The first thing I wanted to say is good to see Scorpio back in action so soon. Hi, Dave.
All right, good. Thank you. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Earlier in the show, you guys were talking about phony computer modeling masquerading as being science.
I think, yes.
At the time, you were talking about the climate change subject, but toward the end, you mentioned the pandemic and how that was supported by phony computer modeling and
right.
by that English guy, Neil Ferguson at Imperial College, who projected millions and millions and millions of deaths and was used to scare everybody into compliance early on. But the comment that I wanted to make is that it goes a lot deeper than that, the issue of phony computer modeling in the faux scientific branch that's called virology. A huge part of modern virology is done with using computer programs to model sequences from tiny bits of genetic sequences. And then when the computer puts them all together, they kind of round off the rough edges here and there. And then they say, oh no, we've got a new novel virus. And that's exactly how they got this bullshit started, because they had one sequence that was given to the world from Wuhan, China, taken from one patient, and it just went crazy all over the world with this assumption that our computer models can't be wrong. It's a new novel virus, and oh, is it infectious? So I wanted to throw that in there because computer sequencing and phony computer modeling is one of the main false proofs that's involved in what we call modern virology today.
Good points, Michael. Scorpio.
Yeah, excellent points. And I think you're absolutely right. It's a lot bigger than we had mentioned earlier. Very good point. And if you look at the way viruses are supposedly isolated, this is a completely fraudulent process as well. So I think we need to, you know, as I said on my last show, you know, that I posted over at grizzom.blogspot.com, that's grizzom.blogspot.com. I think we need to have, you know, a conversation about some kind of out there topics that on the face seem absurd, but they might not be if we look into it. And this whole notion of virology, as we've been fed it, it's full of lies. And phony computer modeling, as you pointed out, and this whole isolation process, if you look at how it's done, it simply doesn't reflect anything that's usable or real. So I think that's a whole other topic to look into, because I'm kind of on the fence about the whole terrain theory versus virus theory. But I see great flaws in both models. And I think we need to really work at trying to see what the truth is in this, because again, we're lied to about everything. So to take at face value what we've been told about viruses and virology is absurd, and it's a big mistake to trust any of these people, because you know, they're all on the payroll, they're in the club, and they're following orders.
Michael Moore.
Just a final comment. Yes, going forward, unless the world in general comes to understand the giant scam that modern virology is, we're going to continue to be placed in fear and manipulated by that fear over and over and over again. You can go back over the last 60 or 70 years and name disease after disease after disease, every one of which has been blamed on a virus, none of which none, zero, have been proven to be caused by what we now call viruses.
Yeah, that's a rather important point, Scorpio.
Yeah, and of course, you know, this kind of, I guess, the whole AIDS, HIV thing that sort of kicked off this debate because some very reputable people said, hey, HIV is not caused, or AIDS is not caused by the HIV virus. So there's a lot there, and to accept any of this at face value is a big mistake, and it's easy to ridicule and go, oh, well, you know, that's crazy talk. But, you know, as it often turns out, you know, so-called conspiracy theorists are just a few steps ahead of the thinking of most people. So it does seem out there, it does seem crazy, but upon further examination, there's a lot there that needs to be unpacked, and we need to look at this with an open mind and examine the evidence without having preconceived notions.
Michael, more?
No, I'll let you guys move on. Do you have any other callers?
No, we don't, so you'd be welcome to continue if you like.
Well, I was just going to say that false virus concept has been applied retroactively as well, like to the Spanish flu that it's called, and around the end of World War II, to polio, to rabies. All of these things have never been scientifically correctly proven and shown to be the cause. And what Scorpio said a minute ago about people think that it's just crazy talk. The reason people think things are crazy talk is that we've been told this paradigm of viral infection and contagion our entire lives. You know, when we were little kids, we were getting shots and polio vaccines to protect us from the virus. And it's become a part of, and especially since it's been adopted by the medical profession, which we look to as the priests of modern society, it's become a parameter of people's reality. So when you're telling them something that, like this, that viral infection and contagion has never been proven, you're saying something that's completely outside the parameters of most people's reality.
Yes, very good, Michael. I'm very glad you called, my friend. We have Bruce in Texas returning. Bruce, you wanted to add a further thought?
Yeah, I wanted to thank you for the 9/11 show with Joe Olson. That was awesome. Oh. I think that was on the Steffi show.
Yes,
that
yes,
was an excellent
yes.
presentation. And I want to kick this to Richard Gage and Kevin Barrett and Michael Rivero and whoever else, you know. Yeah. Airplane fuel cannot melt steel beams, and nanothermite cannot destroy concrete.
I know, it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing when you get these supposedly authoritative sources advancing positions that are scientifically indefensible, Bruce. So I thank you. You might also go ahead.
If you throw a thermite grenade on the ground on a concrete surface, it might chip it. That's all it's going to do. It doesn't have the potential to completely disassociate cured concrete.
Right.
To giant clouds of dust. How do these people not understand this? Or do they do understand it? And I don't understand.
Bruce, you got it. You got it. In order for an explosive to destroy concrete, it must have a detonation velocity of 3,200 meters per second or greater. In order to destroy steel, 6,100 meters per second or greater. But the highest attributed detonation velocity for nanothermite is only 895 meters per second. You can't get there from there. And it turns out that these what has been taken to be nanothermite residue is caused by an interaction between the steel and the aluminum cliding that was used to decorate the Twin Towers when the reaction took place that destroyed the building. So you had these residues, they simply had a different origin than they were interpreted as having. And it's very interesting, by the way, Steve Jones happens to be an expert in nuclear theory, and yet he was a proponent, a principal proponent of the nanothermite theory. I find that very troubling. And, of course, he and I had a parting of the way by June of 2006. I was already convinced that nanothermite couldn't cut it. And I asked him in the hallway on Saturday at the Sheraton in Los Angeles, where Alex Jones was having his American Scholars Conference, whether he still believed nanothermite had the ability to do all these effects, to blow the buildings apart in every direction and convert them into millions of yards of very fine dust. And he assured me he did. But those are effects you require vastly greater sources of energy. And it turns out the nuclear hypothesis, which Joe Olson has articulated so very, very clearly, can do the job. I just say, Bruce, you might like the germ warfare interview I did with Jeremy out of South Africa on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. That's a longer, more detailed about the whole of 9/11. I think you might like that too, Bruce. Thank you for calling back. Thank you for calling back. Scorpio, in the time that remains, I'd like you to prognosticate. Tell us what you think is the near future, not the distant. I think we see the outline. But what's going to happen between now and November? That I'm convinced they're going to try to find a way to scuttle the midterm because it's going to be decimating. You've even got Biden admitting that if the Democrats lose control of Congress in the midterm, and he was talking about both the House and the Senate, then it's going to be a long 2 years. That'll be using his veto pen more than getting things done, which would be at least the improvement that he can't rake more destruction upon the America if he can't get legislation passed. The whole control by the Democrats is all based on fraudulent thefts of the election, which, of course, is why they're censoring so massively. If you challenge the authenticity of the election, you're a traitor to the United States, and yet they spent years, 4 years, from 2016 to 2020, insisting Donald Trump had stolen the election. I mean, Scorpio, the hypocrisy is nauseating, just disgusting, enough to make you vomit.
Oh, it is. It is. And I'd like to say, too, I'm surprised that Paul in California didn't call in. I was waiting for a Paul call, but at least that's not going to happen, at least not today. But, you know, Jim, I really think that, unfortunately, there's not going to be a big red wave, not because there isn't support. I think the Democrats are going to fix the important elections, or their operatives are going to fix the important elections. And I think we're going to see sort of a reprieve here from any further real major chaos until after the midterms. They're going to let the elections go down, but they're going to keep, you know, widening the dragnet around Trump. Everyone, you know, who Trump is kryptonite. Anyone who spoke to him on the phone or, you know, had lunch with him, he's probably a criminal, and they're just going to keep moving outward and discrediting themselves in the process, because more and more people just aren't going to buy this, and it's really starting to look like a totalitarian state taking out the political opposition to even normies. I mean, more and more people are seeing this for what it is. But again, I think there's a higher level of play here. But on that level of the game, that's what's happening. And, you know, this whole idea of, oh, Trump has these secret documents that he took to Mar-a-Lago. This is so dangerous for national security. This whole thing is absurd. All the presidents have taken documents after they left office. And the idea that Trump has some nuclear secrets, you know, that are a danger to the country, is the whole thing is just so absolutely absurd. And but they're going to keep playing this, and they're creating a narrative. They've even brought Alex Jones into it, and you know, this idea that his lawyers accidentally turned over a bunch of documents, or, you know, emailed a bunch of documents to the opposing side that implicates him and Roger Stone, and, you know, they're just going to keep increasing this dragnet around it, no matter how absurd it looks. And it really is looking increasingly absurd. So I think that's just going to continue. And I, unfortunately, Jim, I don't see a big red wave coming. I think the support might be there, but the important elections are going to be fixed.
Now, the polling is overwhelming, Scorpio. I mean, 80% think the country is heading in the wrong direction. That's a traditional indicator. The popularity of Biden is below 20%, which is historically low. He's become an anchor on the whole Democrat Party. Just as an illustration of the absurdity, Howard Stern, who used to exemplify the alternative media, has declared that Donald Trump had nuclear secrets he wanted to sell to the Russians. I mean, yeah. Scorpio, Howard Stern might as well put a big gun up to his head and pull a trigger. I mean, that is so repulsive coming from him. I mean, how ridiculous. Well,
it is, and of course Stern has discredited himself in many ways. He you know, said everybody's got to get the shot or else. He's bought and paid for. The guy's salary is something like $100 million a year. It's ridiculous. And, you know, the idea that the nuclear secrets don't change when the president leaves office is absurd. So all those documents are obsolete anyway. None of the codes are right. Whatever is in those documents, I have no idea. But everything's been changed. They update this stuff all the time. So it's not like it just stays the same year after year after year. In fact, they change the codes like on a weekly basis or something like that. So this whole idea is absurd, and it's very dangerous what's going on, and it's really leading to a totalitarian one-party state. That's the goal, because that's what the so-called New World Order is going to be. That's what they have in China, and that's what they're trying to bring forward to the world and to America. But again, it's going to become increasingly unpopular as the true nature of this agenda is revealed.
Well, Scorpio, it's just a delight to have you back on. You're one of my favorite commentators. You're so thoughtful and perceptive, and I just really appreciate having you here today. And we're looking forward to getting you back on Revolution Radio, my friend.
Well, Jim, thank you, and thanks for the invitation. And, you know, you do great work, and there's lots of great hosts on Revolution Radio, so I appreciate that very much. And there's a lot going on, and I just, you know, your work on Sandy Hook and the Boston bombing alone puts you sort of in a great category. And your work on 9/11, I think you're pretty much spot on. And I think the most important thing about the micro nuke theory is it limits the number of suspects down to about 5 or 6. And I don't think France was behind, you know, the World Trade Center attacks. And, you know, so that, oh, gee, maybe Israel was, you know. So that puts Israel's spot on the map as a co-conspirator. Certainly they didn't do it alone.
Right.
They had their help from within our own government and beyond, frankly. I mean, and the complicity of the media to go along with it, all this absurdity and feeding this pancake theory to the general public. Absurd.
Scorpio, thank you for being here, my friend. Just sensational.
Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny?
never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me death!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and